I'm going to talk a little bit about oak trees, because we're oaks of righteousness is our verse for the year. I quite like a practical application from a talk, and I quite like a bit of exposition. I'm not going to give you either of those, so this is a very unsatisfactory talk for me. But thankfully I'm not listening to it, so it's fine. What I am going to say is just a few things that I think are very wide open to interpretation, but that's the point really. What I want to do is just give you some things to think about. So the origin of this, of why Sam asked me to do this talk today, was because in the leadership team meeting a little while ago, we were talking about the verse of the year, and from listening to what people were saying, what Leonie and Fiona and Ness were saying, I was reminded of some interesting facts about oaks, which I then shared at that meeting, and Sam has asked me to share them again with you. So these interesting facts about oaks are essentially analogies that I want you to think about and sort of develop ideas from. So I don't think I really need to introduce oak trees. I think you know what they are. They are big trees that are common in this country. There are two species in this country that are native. There's the western oak, Quercus petraea, often known as the Cornish or the Irish oak. Obviously Cornish oak is what it should be called. And then there's Quercus robur, which is the English oak, which is more common in the sort of south and east of the country, so they're the ones that we've got most around here. The oak is, because it's quite an iconic tree, it's native to most of Europe, and it is the national tree of quite a lot of European countries, including England and Wales. The oldest house in Wales, incidentally, I don't know if you knew this, has an oak tree in the middle of it holding it all up. Yeah. It's oldest house, not, there are older castles, but you know, I've stayed in it, it's quite a nice house. So oak trees are all over the place. The first anecdote that I'm going to share about oaks is that a mature English oak, that's the species Quercus robur, the lowland oak, is, and when I say mature, you know, they say oaks grow for 300 years, live for 300 years, and die for 300 years. So we're talking about that middle sort of period, when they're a full-grown oak. It will support over 1,000 other species of plant and animal. So it will support more than 300 species of insects, 30 different ferns, but you didn't know we had 30 ferns in Britain, but we do. Loads of different mosses, liverworts, lichens, fungi, birds, mammals, and so on. Caterpillars and beetles eat the leaves. Fungi live on the branches and in the roots. And birds and animals eat the acorns. And then when the oak dies, it carries on nourishing more fungi, more insects, wood lice, and so on. So we're oaks of righteousness. The loose analogy here is that the church, either with a capital C or a small c, depending on how you feel, is the oak. If our church, if RBC is a mature oak, then what other creatures are we supporting? What other species are we supporting? As a leadership team, we discussed trying to think of ways that we could work with other organisations in the village. We could work with the parish council, with the schools, the charities, businesses, doctors, surgery, thinking of ways that we could input into their work and support them. So the analogy there is the church as a mature oak supporting other species. So think about how we can nurture our village, how we can nourish other groups, other people, other organisations with our roots, with our leaves, with our branches, how we can lift them up as an oak does and hold them up to the light. I brought some props. Sarah said I had to do something visual, so I brought some props. I forgot. This is a sprig of oak that has at least five other things living on it. So I'll just give you that to pass around. It's not got dog poo, as far as I've known. Yeah. I'm just going to put the mic down while I get my second prop out of the bag.
Leave these back at the end because they're precious to Joshua.
So this is a feather. If anyone can tell me what bird it comes from, I'll give you a prize. A jay, correct. Your prize is you get to share your lunch. So the jays, the reason I brought some jay feathers, which are Joshua's precious feathers, part of his precious feather collection, is that in some parts of the country, oaks have a symbiotic relationship with jays. The jays eat the acorns, and the oaks need the jays to plant the acorns so they can grow. So jays gather the acorns in the autumn, a bit like squirrels do with hazelnuts. They bury them to eat them over the winter, and sometimes they don't eat them all. Either they've collected enough and they don't need them, or they forget where they are, or the jay dies, and so the oak grows. And the acorns make up the vast majority of the jay's diet. So that's why the jays need the oaks. The oaks need the jays, because if the acorns fall too close to the parent tree, then the new seedlings are outcompeted by their parents, which is possibly something some of us can relate to. So the oaks rely on the jays to carry the acorns far away so that the seedlings can grow and so that they can spread out across the countryside. So the sort of loose analogy here is, well, it could go one way or another, really. Maybe we're the jays. Maybe we're carrying the seeds of the oaks of righteousness. Maybe we're planting them and enabling them to spread out and grow. Or maybe the jays here represent God, and we're the acorns, and he's carrying us and planting us where he wants us to grow. He's planting us in the fertile ground to grow and spread out. So what I want you to think about is how we can be the acorns spreading out, we can be the jays spreading the acorns. How can we spread the work of the church? How can we grow the church? Where are we being planted? Or where are we planting things? I've got another prop. What's that say, Derek? What's that say? Someone who can read.
Slow gin.
What's slow gin made of? Sloes. What do sloes come from? Blackthorn. Yeah, that's right. Sloes are the fruit of the blackthorn tree, Prunus spinosa, in some parts of the country, oaks need blackthorns and brambles and wild rose in order to be able to grow. Because in some places, this is particularly true of the western oaks in the highlands where there's lots of deer and sheep, in some places the young oaks get browsed back by the deer and they can't grow, they just grow little stumpy, ragged things. So they can only grow if the acorns fall into somewhere where the deer can't get to, which is most commonly a patch of blackthorn or a bramble. So they fall into the thorns, and that's the only way they can grow. So the thorns protect them from being eaten by the oak. So they start life down in the dark, in the tangle, and they have to push their way up through the thorns in order to be able to grow. Some of us might feel like we've had to push through thorns in order to be able to grow. And so the analogy here is, do we sometimes feel entangled? Or do we know folk who do? Do we know people who are all set about by thorns and things that seem to be dragging them back and pulling them down? In fact, sometimes the oaks of righteousness need that to be able to grow. It seems like it's something that's stopping them growing, but actually it's protecting them and enabling them to grow strong, much more so than they would do otherwise. So that's something to think about as well, whether we can identify with that particular analogy of having to push up through the tangle of thorns in order to grow. So, this is deliberately a very short talk, and I'm coming to the end. So I just wanted to share those sort of oak facts and analogies with you, for you to think about and mull over. And as I said, it is wide open to interpretation, so, you know, maybe what I've suggested might be a reasonable interpretation isn't what you feel about it, but that's good. You know, think about it and see what you think. So this passage, the beginning of Isaiah, I'll just read the first three verses. Thanks. So, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendour. So this says, we will be called oaks of righteousness when we proclaim good news to the poor, when we set the captive free, proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. We will be oaks of righteousness when we comfort those who mourn, when we provide for those who grieve and bind up the brokenhearted. Then there will be a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendour. So let's think about how we can be oaks. Let's support 1,000 other species. Let's push up through the tangles and the thorns. And let's be a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendour.